chapter 39 tonight. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, and look with me, we'll start reading in verse number 20. Genesis 39, verse 20 says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Now look in chapter 41, and look in verse number 14. It says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." I read these verses here. This is probably pretty familiar to all of us regarding one of the greatest men written about in the Bible. Daniel's one of the handful of men in Scriptures that, as far as I know, there's nothing recorded negative said about Daniel. Now, he was a man just like us, but there's nothing negative, no major fall, no mess up, anything like that in his life that God chose to record in Scripture. And Joseph has always been one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I've always appreciated Joseph and gleaned from Joseph. One thing is that he was a young man when he started serving the Lord and got a heart for God, got a vision for God. He was just a young boy. God gave him dreams and visions of things he was going to do in his life, and Joseph stayed faithful to those things, stayed faithful to God, and God brought to fruition the things that he, the visions that he had given him early in his life. And so I really have always appreciated Joseph, but we know these stories. He was served in Potiphar's house, and he's, of course, been lied on, thrown into jail. And really, all through his life, he's had things like that happen as far as, you know, through the early days of his life. Several years go by, but what we see is in this point in Joseph's life is that something's taken place that's a really, really dark thing, a really difficult thing that for him to go through, for any of us to go through, and that is that he has been cast into prison. Joseph is going through a prison experience. And so an interesting fact about the Word of God and about specifically the Old Testament law is that God actually authorized no prisons among His people under the law. Did you know that? The whole prison system and the dungeons and all that stuff that man has done, all that really has been come up by man. God never really authorized or came up with the idea of the prison and all those things. That's something that man has actually done. Under His law, God commanded His people to handle crimes that was committed very differently from the way that we handle them. The punishment for a crime in Israel with His people, Israel was to respond. The punishment was to be swift and sure. Wasn't supposed to drag out for years and years and years. It was to be swift and sure, and it number two was to be a punishment that fit the crime. And neither one of those are true with the system we have now. The punishment is not swift and it's not sure. It drags out and it's long and slow, and it's normally not bad enough where it deters crime. And the punishment doesn't typically fit the crime either. It's, you know, so many get out with just a slap on the wrist and they're told to go and just don't do it anymore, you know. And we have this retention rate that's just, you know, just constant in our prison system and jail system. But throughout history, kings and rulers, they have built prisons, and they did that to contain political enemies and lawbreakers. And we see that this is still done in our day. But that really wasn't something that God came up with under the law. He had a different ideas under the Old Testament law. So although God didn't order His people to build prisons, He did, however, allow some of His most choice servants some of the greatest men in the Bible, he allowed them to spend time in the dungeons of their days. In fact, some of these men, some of the greatest men we will find in the Scriptures and even down through history, even met their death in a prison cell. And when God allows His servants, or whenever He allowed any of His servants to go to a prison, it was never because they were a criminal in God's eyes. God sent them there every time to teach them something that they could learn. And it was something that they could learn really from nowhere else and under no other really circumstance. That's what God's doing in Joseph's life here. He's sending him to this prison to teach him and to prepare him. Now, I think as we look at the Word of God, there are so many times where God's people, and specifically God's men, great people of God, wind up in prisons. And going through prison experiences, I think it'd be worth our time to consider some of these prison experiences. Just because God's people have gone through them. And probably the fact is, if the Lord tarries, some of us may go through it at some point. Before this thing's over with. Amen? And so I think it'd be worth our time to consider some of these prison experiences because they have much to teach us about our God and the way He works. So all that being said, I want us to look tonight at Joseph's prison experience. Now, Joseph, as I said earlier, is one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament. And as one of the greatest characters, he winds up having a prison experience. It's not great men, great women of God, they don't live on the mountaintop all the time. You know that, don't you? Joseph's one of the greatest in the Word of God, and yet he has this prison experience. And Joseph was there because Potiphar, his master, wanted to punish him. But we know that's not really why he was there. I mean, he was there because Potiphar's wife lied on him, and so Potiphar's wanting to punish him. But in reality, Joseph really was there because God wanted to promote him. Potiphar wanted to punish him, but God was wanting to promote him, and that's why he wound up in prison. It's interesting that we would say, you know, you've heard this statement before. People talk about, you know, they've had a really bad day or something, and they talk about reaching a new low in their life. I'm just, man, I've hit a new low. Can I just tell you, we never reach a new low with God. Amen? We never get too low where God's not there. Prison is a very low spot, it would seem. Especially for a man like Joseph, who's really just trying to do what's right. Just trying to live for God. And here he is in prison. Well, that seems like a new low, doesn't it? But it wasn't a new low for God. God knew right where He was. Matter of fact, God orchestrated it that He would be there. Not to hurt Joseph, but to help him. And not to punish him, but to promote him. Now, God used the time of confinement in Joseph's life as a time of refinement in Joseph's life. Amen? He prepared Joseph for leadership by sending him to the lockup. Amen. He's working in his life. So God will often do the same thing in our lives. It may not be an actual physical prison that we wind up in, but we may go through a prison place in our life. We may go through a prison-like experience. See, His plan through these experiences, these prison experiences, is always to promote us to a greater level of service and a greater level of responsibility. He's wanting to do more in us and with us and through us. And so that's why He puts us in these spots. But the path will often lead through some prison experiences or some prison experience or the other. The old saying is that, you know, if for those that God would use greatly, He first has to hurt them deeply. He's going to use us greatly. He's got to first break us and hurt us deeply a lot of times. It's the way it always seems to work, isn't it? Now, the path to greater service, the path to more responsibility, the path to promotion in the things of God is always a path. It will always lead through a time when we are shut off, when it feels like we're shut down, when it feels like we're shut away, it feels like we've been shut up. Amen? Like we have no voice, like we're not really doing anything, we're not moving forward, nobody's paying us attention, nobody recognizes what we're doing, we're just off to the side, just kind of, you know, just struggling along. Isn't that what Joseph's doing? They've forgotten about him. He's down there. Potiphar forgets about him. Pharaoh sure doesn't know he's there. I mean, it looks like a hopeless situation in regards to success. Like, how could he ever have success in the spot that he's at? Well, I don't know about you, but I've been in some places like that. Been in some times in my life where it just seems like I've been shut up, shut down, move out of the way, shut off, and just like God will never do anything here. Like, this is it. This is the end of the road. And I tell you, God always moves us through prison experiences not to hurt us, but to help us. And so I want to look tonight at Joseph's prison experience, and I want to talk about the prison of promotion. The prison of promotion. We see a lot of different prison experiences in the Bible, but this one specific instance, this one specific experience that Joseph is going through, this was a prison of promotion. It's what God was using in his life, not to beat him down and do away with him, but rather to promote him and to build him up, to use him in a greater way. So let's look at the prison of promotion. First of all, I want to notice the problems of this prison. Now, I don't know about you, if you've gone to the jail any, we've been going to the jail quite a bit the past year, and prison, I have found, is a place of problems. It is not a happy place. It's not typically a place you want to just go and hang out. Not a place you want to take your kids and your family to hang out, right? Prison is a place of problems. Now, I can just tell you that the prison that Joseph was in probably had a lot more problems than what they have today. At least as many. Prison is that type of place. It is a problematic place. Now, this prison, the problems involved. First of all, this prison is a painful prison. If you look in verse number 20, it says they put him in prison. In chapter 40, verse 3, says he was bound in prison. This is not an easy time in Joseph's life. He was put into prison against his will, against his desires. He was bound in prison. In Psalm chapter 105, in verse 18, actually goes into some more detail, and it says this, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron." Listen, this wasn't like a comfortable an experience for him where he had a nice bed and nice clean clothes and a warm cushy pillow to sleep on and good friends to hang out with and good people that were promoting him and helping him. No, this was nothing like that. This was a problematic place. This was a very painful place that Joseph was in. Just last night, we were at the prison, or not the prison, at the jail. And afterwards, we were talking to one of the men there who comes really, really faithfully. I was asking him how his family was doing. And he was talking about how the most difficult part of being incarcerated is all the things that his family's going through on the outside. Deaths in the family and things like that. The things we all go through. But see, he's there. And he can't just pick up the phone and call his family anytime. He can't even just go to the funeral if he wants to. He's got to get all that approved. I mean, and it may or may not be able to go to a funeral of a family member. May or may not be able to be there. And he was talking about how that was one of the most difficult parts of being incarcerated, was just being there and not being there and not being able to be with your family, not being able to be available to your family. And so I just say that to say this, you can see the pain in that. Don't you know Joseph's going through the same thing? Don't you know that in Joseph's mind, his family is out there somewhere, his daddy is out there somewhere worried about him, and his mama somewhere worried about him, and I mean, you know what I'm saying? All these things are going through Joseph's mind and the pain of this prison. God's most choice servants, though, are shaped on the harsh anvil of pain. See, God never promised that serving him would be easy. He never told us to be easy. As a matter of fact, he told us it'd be hard. He told us it'd be difficult. Now, there's joy and there's peace and there's all the things the world doesn't have, but He still never said it'd be easy. Not going to be a bed of roses. And the most choice servants, the men that God used, the women that God uses, they are always shaped on the harsh anvil of pain. Men like Job, men like Paul, men like David, men like Elijah, many other men that we could all name. You look at their lives and you will find pain and discomfort. You will find difficult things in their life. We shouldn't be surprised to find ourselves locked in one of life's prisons ever. We should never go through life, and whenever we're in a difficult place and it feels like we are going through a prison experience, that should never surprise us, because that's something that every one of God's children has gone through, at least all the ones that He's wanted to use, and He's wanted to use all of us. Amen? We're not the first that's ever gone through something like that. We'll certainly not be the last to go through a prison of pain. So this prison is painful. This prison is also perplexing. We're never in the Bible told that Joseph questioned anything God was doing in his life. As far as I know, there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about Joseph ever said, God, why me? He never asked God, God, why are you doing this? He never went into the pit and said, God, why are you doing this? He never went into prison and said, God, at least it's not recorded. Nowhere in the Bible I've seen that he questioned God. But don't you know there had to be some questions in his mind somewhere along the way? Had to have been. If he's a human being, certainly somewhere along the way in the back of his mind, he had to have been thinking to himself, why do my brothers, my own family, why do they hate me so much? You ever asked yourself that? You're asking, man, why does my family hate me so much? Why do my brothers hate me so much? Certainly somewhere along the way, he had to have thought to himself, why has God let me end up a slave here in Egypt? Surely somewhere along the way, he must have thought to himself, why am I being punished for just doing right? You ever ask some of those questions or similar questions to yourself? Or even ask them to God? You ever just thought, Lord, why are things the way that they are? I'm just trying to do right. Why does it feel like I never get ahead? Why does it feel like things never seem to work out? Why, just why? See, the prison experiences can be mighty perplexing sometimes. Because in our mind, from the natural perspective, we think, well, I'm trying to do right, and I'm living for God, I'm trying to please God, and I'm faithful to church, and I do all the things that I really know to do for the most part, don't have any gross sin in my life, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, so things ought to be pretty smooth in life. When the truth is, when we're trying to do right and live for God, a lot of times it's anything but smooth in our life. I mean, isn't that right? I mean, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's smooth sailing. It seems like it's smooth sailing a lot of times. And the truth is, we're actually more blessed than we give credit for a lot of times. But the thing is, it seems like, it's just kind of problems. The truth is, all the world has problems. Lost people have problems. The thing is, we get the mully grubs worse, As soon as we have a problem, we start blaming God. But see, it rains on the just and the unjust. But the truth is, there are some specific things that God's people will go through that we would never go through had we not been a saved, born-again child of God. Or just specific prison experiences just for us. And prisons can be a perplexing place, but let me tell you, don't let it get you off course. If you ever go through a prison experience, don't let it get you to the point where you just throw your hands up and you say, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I'm going to start doing things my way. I'm going to start going my direction. That's what always gets us in trouble. We got to do like James chapter 1, where he said, let patience have her perfect work. Amen? As perplexing as it can be, as confusing as it can be, as much as we scratch our head and say, why do I have to be the one going through this? You know what God calls us to do? To trust Him through it all. Trust Him. Here, just not too long ago, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he was talking about they had a death in their family. A family member had passed away from cancer. And of course, that always brings about questions at times, you know, just why? Why has this got to be our family? Why has this got to be me, you know? And he said he was talking to another lady that he knew who had battled cancer for many years. And he said that she said something that really helped him with this family member, this whole situation where his family member had passed away from cancer. He talked to this other lady, and she's battled it for years, and she said something that really helped him. He said that she told him, you know, for years I've battled this cancer. Sometimes we do good, and sometimes it comes back, and seemed like we're going good for a while, then I know where it comes back, and it's just always been a battle. And she said, for years I would always think and say, God, why me? Why me? Why do I have to be the one going through this? And she said, but one morning God spoke to my heart, and as clear as day I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, why not you? Why not you? That's what we always get stuck saying. Whenever we go through something and we have some prison experience and God's really trying to do something in our life, we're so stuck saying, God, why me? That we can't see what God's really trying to do. We can't get a hold of what God's trying to do for us because we're so stuck on ourselves saying, God, why me? When the real thing is, the real truth is, why not us? Why not you? Why not me? What makes me better than anybody else? What makes me ahead of the person next door? What makes me better than anybody else that I shouldn't go through anything and they should have to have all the problems and not me? Why not us? Listen, we're the ones who've got grace. We're the one who's got God. We're the one who's got the Holy Ghost. It ought to be us, the ones going through the prison experiences. Amen? Because God can use them in our life. Don't ever say, God, why me? Because the real question is, why not me? Truth is, we all have a lot worse than what we are getting. And it's just God's grace that He would bring us through some type of painful, perplexing prison experience. It's a lot easier preaching than it is living. I understand that. But it still is a fact. It's still a fact. Amen. So this was a perplexing thing. I heard a story about some parents who had lost their little boy in a very tragic car accident, and they wound up getting very, very bitter on God over losing their son. Why us? Why our son? Why him? He was so young. All those questions, and they allowed that to get down in their heart, and they got bitter on God. And their pastor went and saw them. He stopped, and they sat down with them. They were talking. And the mother asked the question to the pastor. She said this. She said, where was God when my son died? Where was God when my son died? The pastor responded and said this. The same place He was when his son died. You know where God is whenever you're going through something that you've never been through? The same place He's always been when His Son was going through things that we've never been through. That was worse than all the things we've ever gone through. Amen. It's a perplexing thing. But you know, God calls us to trust Him in the prison experiences. Prisons are disturbing and distracting, but they're all part of a plan. God has a plan. This prison was perplexing. This prison is prolonged in Joseph's life. If you'll notice, you look throughout, you know, really Joseph's life, you used to go back to read it all. This prison that he was in here, if you look in chapter 41, verse 1, you'll find it says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. So he's in the prison for at least 2 years. At least. Some say it could have been as many as 13 years. I don't know where they get that, but I'm just telling you what they say. We do know this. We do know that from the pit until the time he became the second ruler in Egypt, around 13 years have passed. From the moment his brothers stripped that coat off of him, and threw him down that pit out of spite and hate and sold him into slavery and all that takes place in his life. From the moment they throw him in the pit to the moment he becomes the second in command in all of Egypt, 13 years of his life has gone by. Now, from the natural perspective, we'd say that's 13 years wasted. 13 years out the window. 13 years he's just in prison. But was it 13 years wasted? It was a prolonged time. It lasted longer than he wanted to. It wasn't over as quick as he wanted it to be. And you know, sometimes God does put us through a quick and short trial. But then other times, God spends years shaping and molding your life and working in your life, causing you to be what He wants you to be. And sometimes God spends years working in your life to use you for a relatively short time. That's what He did in Joseph's life. Use them for one specific thing that he wanted to do. And sometimes that's the way it is. I'm just simply saying this prison was prolonged. Sometimes the prison you go through will be prolonged. You know, if the devil doesn't get us with intensity, he'll get us with fatigue. If he can't ramp up the intensity of the fire and the intensity of the storm where it gets us overnight, he'll stretch it out and he'll get you with fatigue. That's where he tried to get Job. See, he tried to get him whenever he took his kids and his family, and he couldn't do it. Tried to get him by taking all of his finances, and he couldn't do it. Just over and over, Job stayed faithful to God, but then he got him in his health. And day after day after day after day, he tried to get him with that fatigue. And things just didn't seem to get better. How many times we think, well, whenever I get this taken care of, get this one situation took care of, get all this right, get everything lined up, then everything will be all right. I can really serve God then. How many times we thought that? Let me just tell you, that mythical convenient season, it's just that. It's a myth. It's a mirage. A lot of people are stuck chasing the mythical, perfect life, perfect circumstances to start serving God and doing something for God, and it will never come. You know what God wants us to do? Serve right where we are. Serve in the prison that you're in. It may be a prolonged prison. You may have been right where in that prison for a long time, longer than you wanted to. Matter of fact, Joseph's motto could have been "Nice guys finish last," because that was the story of his life. He's only ever tried to do right and be a nice guy and do what God wants him to do, but it seems like he's coming in last every time. With his brothers, with Potiphar. I mean, just over and over. It's just always one valley after another. He's got to get to the point where he's thinking, man, I need to try something else. I mean, I don't know. You know what gets you thinking that way? A prolonged prison. But you know, the truth is, we would say, surely Joseph must have been thinking that, but as far as we know, he never did think that. He just stayed faithful to God and trusted God. Even though the prison was prolonged. It may be prolonged in your life, but God has got a plan. So the pain or the problems in this prison. Number two, notice the provisions of this prison. I'm going to give you these last two very quickly. The provisions of this prison. See, God gave him exactly what he needed to thrive in the prison. Not just when he was second in command, but when he was in prison, when he was on bottom. See, the provisions that God gave him, everything that God had for him, it was all the tools and everything that he needed to be used of God, even in the presence. Amen? First of all, he had the provision of God's presence. In chapter 39, verse 21, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Down in that prison, God was with him. And I want to say that I am real thankful for that, because there's no low that we can get to that God is not with us. There's no storm, no thing that comes into our life, no prison experience that we can ever go through that God will not be there and give you what you need. Not just to barely make it through, but to thrive and to serve Him and to live for Him with power. Always in the, I mean, look at Noah. We always talk about how hard it is to live for God in this day and how these are the last days. Listen, Noah had it just as bad as we do. Yet he didn't even have the Holy Spirit. And he didn't have a Bible. And he didn't have a pastor. And didn't have a church to go through. The Bible talks about in the last days will be as it were in the days of Noah. Those were terrible, wicked days. And Noah didn't have all that we have. Yet he still walked with God. He still walked with God. I'm simply saying that no matter how bad it gets, you can always serve God. There's never an excuse not to live for God. There's never an excuse not to have victory for God. Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Amen. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And though the river or and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He said, when you go through the waters, I'm going to be with you. I'm always going to be with you. And that's a tremendous blessing that God has given to all of us, that no matter what we go through, God is always going to be there. He had the provision of God's presence. Getting back to Noah, you know what God told Noah whenever it was time for him to go in the ark? He said, come into the ark. He didn't say go in the ark. He said, come in the ark. When Noah went in the ark, he found that God was already there. He was already there to sustain him through the flood. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into that fire, they found the Lord already there. Amen? And so anything we go through, the Lord's going to be there. We're going to have His presence. Then there's a provision of God's peace. If you look in chapter 39, in verse number 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. It showed him mercy. That is, God was working in his life. God was giving him grace and giving him peace and giving him all that he needed. See, God gave Joseph power and the strength that he needed to endure and even thrive in this prison experience. Joseph didn't go dragging through it. No, he served God through it. And God used him. And then there's the provision of God's promotion. All the time Joseph was down in prison, instead of throwing up his hands and quitting, instead he just went in to live for God anyways, and God was using him mightily in prison. He was put over he was ahead of the whole prison before the thing was over with. Amen. See, that's just what God will do in and through us if we'll just simply live for Him in every prison experience. Because prisons are a problematic place, but there's always going to be provision when we go through a prison experience. Last of all, the privileges of this prison. See, this prison carried with it tremendous privileges. From the outside looking in, from the natural man's perspective, we could never say that a prison could be a privileged place. But whenever you're dealing with God, He can take a prison experience and give you great privileges through that experience. Things that you'd have never got had you not ever gone through it. Things that you'd have never learned had you not gone through it. I've told some of the men over the jail, we're out there preaching, I've told them, just live for God, sell out for God, just do what you can for God now, just live for God now in prison. I know you want to be out, but live for God here and sell out to God here, and you will look back and you'll likely find some of these to be the most precious spiritual days in your life. I do believe that. Because we all can say that. We can all look back at what at the time was some of the hardest days of our life. We look back now and we find them to be some of the most precious spiritual days in our life. Because standing in somewhere in the shadows, we always found Jesus. We didn't see Him at the time, but we look back now and we say, boy, He was always there. And He was doing this in my life. And I would never have this now had He not done all that back then. Amen. The privileges of this prison. First of all, there's the privilege of God's plan. See, God had already made Joseph a promise many years ago, and Joseph was just trusting Him, trusting that promise that He would bring it all to pass. So, you know, what do you think sustained Joseph in the prison? I'll tell you what sustained him. That promise sustained him. The promise that God had made him and the faith that he had in the Lord, in God's plan. See, he knew, he was able to rest in the fact that this was all a part of God's plan. And I'm going to tell you what's going to get you through the prison experience is resting in the fact that it's all a part of God's plan. There's the privilege of God's plan. There's the privilege of God's praise. Whenever Joseph went through and he was blessed through it all, he was always careful to give the glory to God. Everything that happened, you find in Joseph's life, he was always careful to make it known that it was God that has done everything in his life. And then there's the privilege of God's providence. See, he saw every promise of God fulfilled eventually in his life. He knew that everything that took place was all under the providential hand and guidance of God. And it was all in God's plan. And he was able to see all that and experience all that simply because he went through the prison. So those who won't serve God in the prisons really are not fit to serve God in the palaces. If we wouldn't serve him through the prison experiences, we can't be expected to serve him on the mountaintop experiences. Amen. Owner tonight, are you looking at some kind of prison experience in your life, whether you're going through it now or you have gone through it? And I wonder, what are you doing in that prison? How are you handling that prison that you're going through? Are you rebelling against it or are you submitting to it? Are you allowing God to use it? Are you just trusting Him through it all and resting in Him through it all? Or are you rebelling in it, getting mad at God and wanting things to go your way? See, God's got you there for a reason. And by the way, if you're not in a prison right now, you're going to be at some point. You're going to need this at some point down the road. And I'm just telling you, God's going to have you there for a reason. And if He spoke to your heart, what you ought to do is get before Him and deal with the word that He sent to you. Tell God you're sorry for kicking against the pricks and fighting against Him. And tell Him by His grace, you're going to trust Him. You're going to rest in Him. Rest in His plan. Rest in His providence throughout all the thing. Because all of it is right in His plan. It's all right in His providence. Some tremendous problems and trials are brought about because of dumb things that we do. Because of sin in our life. But that's not every case. Sometimes it's just something that God's allowed us to go through that He might promote us and help us. Except all too often, we don't allow it to do that in our life. We rebel against it the whole time. And so we ought to let God use the prison experiences in our life. The prison of promotion. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for helping us tonight with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it in our lives. I pray, Lord, that You'd help me and help us all, Lord, to be, Lord, submissive to You and submissive to every prison experience You bring about in our life. Lord, knowing that You are doing it for our good, for Your glory, and, Lord, to promote us and to help us. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to take this word, help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against You. I pray that You'd help us to take it with You, and, Lord, that we would use it. And Lord, we could be used greatly of You in these days. Well, thank You for what You do in and amongst us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.